the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch. I'm your host as always, Phil Brown, and absolutely delighted to be joined here with fantastic Kate Riley from CNN. I've been admiring Kate's work for a long, long time. We've been talking over the Christmas period, especially about the Frank de Boer hiring, and she's here to tell me all about why Atlanta United picked Frank de Boer. First of all, Kate, thanks for coming on the show. Much appreciated.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. What an honour.
Pleasure. Frank de Boer has come in at Atlanta. Of course, Tata Martino just left. Frank de Boer seems to be someone, Kate, that fits the identity of what Atlanta United are trying to model themselves on. Their academy is very important. They liked his coaching at Ajax. Were these the main reasons for his hiring?
Yes, I very much think so. So Atlanta United, obviously a very ambitious club, as we know. 2 years after founding, they become MLS champions. They have Tata Martino pulling all the strings. They beat all sorts of records in the last 2 years. So there's no surprise that their ambitious vision continues into the next chapter, their new manager, second manager in charge. And I guess really winning the MLS Cup after 2 years and after, you know, founding just quite recently, they put it all down to trying to develop their pipeline. I keep reading this quote in articles with the president, Darren Eales, here at Atlanta United, developing the pipeline of the academy, then through into Atlanta United, too, then into the Atlanta United senior squad. And Darren Eales said to the press recently that he wanted to be competitive on all fronts. And what that means is it's not just the starting 11 when we're playing DC United or Orlando, but it means from every day they are competitive. And look, they've got the MLS Cup 2018. They've got the Champions League next year, which is new territory for them, as well as the fans. It is not new territory necessarily for their new manager, Frank de Boer. But it seems as though marrying up with Frank, he understands this notion of pipeline, having gone through the Ajax Academy in the 70s and then early 80s, and then obviously turning out for the senior squad in the Eredivisie, as well as then managing them. So he understands that notion. But, you know, this job was very competitive. 50 candidates, apparently 15 were strongly considered, and then 7 were interviewed. So the club wasn't really someone who is evolutionary rather than revolutionary. They don't want to rip up the rule book now. They just, Tata has formed an amazing side here, and they just want someone to carry on the reins, and they don't want big wholesale changes here.
There's an interesting mix in that dressing room of South American talent, domestic talent. Is that going to continue for Atlanta? Are they going to continue to look in the South American market to develop their squad? They've obviously, Frank de Boer is going to have to deal with the Miguel Almirón situation. Will he stay? Will he go? But when you talk about evolution rather than revolution, that tells me they want to carry on doing what they're doing and see Frank de Boer as an extension of that. So the South American market, I would seem, would still be big for Atlanta.
Yeah, I very much think so. And I guess initially when, like, it was announced that Frank was going to be the manager, I read online people saying, well, how is he going to communicate with all our South American players? Well, that's easy for him because he speaks Dutch, English, Spanish and Italian. So I don't think anything's going to be lost in translation in that locker room, that's for sure. But look, why ruin the formula? Darren Eales gushed about saying he wants to bring in young talents from South America and develop them. They've got the backing from their beloved owner, Arthur Blank, known as Uncle Arthur by the fans. It's very unusual for a club owner to be beloved by fans so much. I'm just trying to think of comparisons back home in England, and I can't really think of many, but he's absolutely adored here. So they've got this vision, so why would they spoil it? And bringing in big names from Europe and I don't want to say has been, because that's disrespectful to, I think, those EPL legends who have come to MLS in the last sort of year or so and done brilliantly for their clubs, but they don't want to be bringing in older European players who perhaps are on their last paycheck and it's one last hurrah. So they would rather have young, hungry talent, and then, I guess, sell them on, and then therefore they get money from that deal. And I guess, you know, there are lots of rumours about Miguel Almiron going to Europe in this January transfer window. So if he does, then you could say, well, the formula's work, hasn't it?
For me, as a football fan, I think it's great to see this model be successful, because I've always considered the 32, 33, 34-year-old player coming in from Europe to be a bit gimmicky. And when I see these clubs look in the South American market, which obviously has an abundance of talent at a good price, you can develop that talent, you can sell it, and you can make a profit and still excited at the same time. That tells me that's a real football club. That tells me that someone that believes in the substance of football rather than the commercialism and the marketing and the gimmicks and trying to put bums on seats by old European stars. And I think the fact that Atlanta has a beautiful stadium, it's filling their stadium every week with for fans who want to see exceptional young players rather than aging superstars, I think that's good for the league also, because it sends a message to the other teams that, look, you can still be successful doing this. Is that important for MLS?
I very much think so. And also, like, what's to say that, yes, that person, that legend scored X amount of goals for this EPL team or that Serie A team or that Ligue 1 team, it doesn't necessarily translate into being an iconic person on the pitch here in the States. And I just think of, like, the Josef Martinez story, in that he, he was seen as a flop in Europe, and then he comes here, Tata nurtures him, he is given room to develop and breathe, and then he's breaking records left, right, and center. He's a fan favorite. People are excited to see him. It felt like every time the ball landed at his feet, it was though he was going to score. It was genuinely exciting to see him become the MLS MVP, and obviously MVP of the playoffs as well. So it's really nice to see that their story has been so different to, I guess, everything that's gone on before.
Frank de Boer is a respected name in Europe. Despite what happened at Inter Milan and Crystal Palace, he's still a highly respected figure in Europe. And he's a young coach in his prime. What does it say about MLS that top young European coaches are now looking at the MLS and saying, that is a reasonable place for me to go to further my career? Also, with MLS now conceding, you can't just win the MLS anymore with good players. You have to have tactical nous. You have to know what you're doing. You have to be able to coach. I think it also says a lot about the MLS, but I think it says a lot about the perception of the MLS is changing around the world, that it's no longer just a gimmicky league. It's actually quite serious and a place for big names to go and develop their career, especially their coaching career. Would you agree with that, Kate?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, look, I was just sort of researching Frank and his career. If we start off with present day, so he's just landed in Atlanta. Training camp starts January 14th. And like you said, he brings a wealth of experience coming here and growing up in the Ajax Academy in the 70s and 80s. And then obviously excelled as a player at Ajax and then Barcelona. And obviously had a role, a very important role to play at the highest level in World Cup, either as a player or a manager. And assistant coach for the Dutch team at the 2010 World Cup, where they finished second. And then later that year, became the boss of Ajax and led them to 4 league titles in 5 seasons. All right, if we fast forward to what happened in 2017 at Crystal Palace, I mean, the stats aren't great. Lost the first 4 league matches, didn't score a single goal in that time. And in fact, was the first team in 93 years to begin a top flight season in that fashion. The only win coming in the EFL Cup second round 2-1, unfortunately, against my team. Yeah, they can always be relied on for a loss and a storyline for others. That's Ipswich Town, and so I don't know when I come to interview him, maybe that'll be a good icebreaker and a good omen going forward. And I read that he attempted to implement possession play, but the players just didn't feel like it clicked with them. But I think it will click with the Atlanta United players, because that's the sort of play that Tata Martino had them playing. So I feel as though it'll click quite quickly with them.
You mentioned there was a number of candidates considered for this job, a number of high-end candidates. What's been the overall reaction from the Atlanta United fans towards this appointment? Have they been largely positive about it, or have they been lamenting the fact that it wasn't somebody else, another preferred candidate?
No, I think they've been really, really impressed. Huge name, European clout, World Cup success. Also, I mean, people get dazzled as well by the fact, oh, he was the Inter Milan coach. Oh, he's also been an EPL manager. Okay, didn't go so well, but he was still valued enough to be given that appointment. I would say that the reaction has been overwhelmingly positive about the appointment. And also, like, the people making those decisions have a very strong rapport with the fans. They've done things the right way here in Atlanta. And as a result, I feel as though the fans therefore trust the management. All right, so they might not have watched all those Crystal Palace games that Frank de Boer took charge of at Selhurst Park, or they might not have been able to watch all those Inter games. But that said, I feel as though the top brass have done enough to prove themselves and to prove that they do things in the right manner. And so therefore the fans, they're excited for the new season and the new chapter.
To be fair to De Boer, Crystal Palace and Inter Milan are not exactly renowned for standing by coaches, and it's not particularly the best place to go when things go wrong. What changes do you expect Frank De Boer to make to Atlanta? Because every coach has their own ideology. Every coach brings their own ideas. Tata Martino, of course, was exceptional. But what changes do you think Frank De Boer will make and will need to make to Atlanta to continue that evolution?
Okay, well, if Miguel Almiron goes, then we definitely need someone to pair up with Josef Martinez, and someone like Miguel who can get the best out of Martinez. And obviously anyone else that they bring in has to be able to get Martinez to that level of service that he's accustomed to. But I just think we're going to see just attractive football, this notion of total football. And I do think that even though that's perhaps more of like a European thing, I do think it will be able to translate over here. And I do feel as though he'll be able to get the South Americans to play in a fashion that he likes. But I don't really see him sort of ripping up the rule book or, you know, having wholesale changes. I just kind of envisage more of the same. And to make the playoffs would just be amazing for another year.
How difficult is it going to be for Frank De Boer to follow someone like Tata Martino, especially when Atlanta United have been so successful? Is he on a bit of a head into nothing where if he doesn't at least match that success, he's going to be seen as a failure?
Do you know, in my research, no one's even gone there. No one's even dared to go there. so I admire you for pushing the button a little bit. I'm not really too sure. I'd say, even if things don't go his way, they would at least give him a season. I can't imagine them reacting the way that, lasting less than 90 days at Inter Milan, sure, lasting just a few games in the EPL. I cannot imagine that Atlanta United would act that way. And I guess, there was like a lot of ownership crisis and dust in the air at Inter Milan. He's not going into that. He's going into a very stable environment. Yes, players might come and go, and that can be destabilizing. But in terms of management and how the club is run, it's very stable and confident. So if it doesn't go the way that they are anticipating, I can see him lasting the year, put it that way.
One of the things that European coaches have found difficult to adjust to right here is the unique system that America operates under. It's not like Europe, where you can go out in the transfer market, you can go out and buy, and it's a different system. And MLS do things differently, and coaches, some coaches have found that difficult to adapt to. Do you think Frank de Boer will have any challenges adapting to things like turf that is different in Europe, things like the unique system here in the US with the draft system and the academy system? Do you expect him to have any issues adjusting to the way the US does business?
I don't know about issues, but I don't know. Like any expat, it's very difficult to try and get how things work back at home and try and replicate how they work in a new country. So I can see certain things irritating him and getting him frustrated, but I can't really see him having any problems. I mean, he might get irritated by a salary cap and things like that, and how the draft works. But no, I think it'll be okay.
Last couple of questions. When we talk about what is the barometer of success for Frank de Boer, it may not be repeating what Tata Martino done. It may be, look, if you don't win the MLS Cup next year, but you get three or four academy kids into our first team that are playing well, that are exciting, that may be enough. And as long as we have strong finishes, it doesn't seem to Atlanta that it's just about winning the MLS Cup. It seems like there's a much more holistic approach to success where, look, you're here not just to win, you're here for style of play, you're here to bring young players through, you're here to develop. Is there much more to success in Atlanta United's eyes than just winning the MLS Cup?
Yes, very much so. I sort of feel that they are bigger picture people, and it goes back to my original point about how ambitious this club is. And okay, so they didn't sign Wayne Rooney and they didn't sign Zlatan Ibrahimovic last year, but they have been able to be very ambitious in other ways and prove that you don't need those big names to be ambitious and therefore successful in the league. I would say the biggest success for them would be to find and continue finding South American players, bringing them here, coaching them, schooling them in their academy, and then therefore being able to sell to European clubs. And of course, Aaron Eales, he had great experience with this, and of course he was in charge of contracts and selling at Tottenham Hotspur, and he oversaw the Gareth Bale record transfer to Real Madrid all those seasons ago. So this is what he loves, this is what he's good at, and so therefore if Frank can help spot those talents and those hidden gems in South America, bring them here. They train at the $60 million training facility, the state-of-the-art facility in Marietta, and maybe even play at the $1.6 million Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is obviously home to Super Bowl this season. I think that will be his success. They've done the cup. Yes, it would be great to get another cup and break even more records. But really, for long-term stability, they will need to continue bringing in those players and then selling them on and then reinvesting in the club.
Lastly, Kate, thanks very much for taking the time to do this, being very informative. It was a big day for US soccer yesterday with the transfer, of course, of Christian Pulisic went to Chelsea for £57 million, $70 million. That's massive amount of money, comfortably shatters the John Brooks transfer record, and really propels American soccer onto the world stage where no longer are their players looked at as inferior. So the rewards are high if you can develop young players out of an academy. Just wanted to get your thoughts on Christian Pulisic, and do Atlanta United have any talented young players coming through that academy that you want to highlight?
Oof, that's a, that's a question and a half. I don't know if we've got the next Christian Pulisic. I mean, they kind of broke the mold, didn't they? Mm-hmm. What with growing up in Europe and the parents both playing soccer and involved in soccer. So his potential was nurtured very early on, and you know, he is a one-off, but it's really exciting to see European recognition of him in the Bundesliga and now in the EPL. And read what you want into the quotes of Maurizio Sarri today, perhaps not being completely aware of this transfer. Needless to say, I think Chelsea needed Pulisic on the field yesterday, didn't they?
against Southampton, yeah.
Yes. Now I don't know if we have the next Christian Pulisic in the ranks at Atlanta United, and I certainly wouldn't want to go on the record and say any name in case that comes back to haunt me. But certainly it is, you know, he is a great ambassador of the game and the American game, and he is a great story, and we've had the privilege and honor of having him on the show speaking to us about his career so far. He is the future. Lots of young boys and girls are looking up to him. It's really impressive. He's threaded the needle. But I'm not too sure Atlanta United has the next Christian Pulisic, but fingers crossed.
Well, maybe not, but I think it also shows, though, that you don't necessarily need to go to Europe at 14, 15, 16, maybe like a Giuseppe Rossi did when he was 12, or Christian Pulisic at 16. You can actually develop here, and hopefully people like Frank de Boer will come in and make sure American kids can develop here in their own country. Because moving across, you know what it's like, we're both expats, moving to another country is very, very difficult, especially at a young age, and that's a variable that most people don't factor into development. That's extremely difficult, especially learning a new language. So hopefully Frank de Boer and Baris Goloto, now of course at LA, and these other exceptional coaches will develop these talents here. Kate, as always, thank you so much for taking the time. Keep up the wonderful work at CNN, and I'd love to have you back sometime. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Total honour and a privilege. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate. Take care. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.